And we're glad to be back in Sunday school this morning. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 6, continuing hopefully our teaching. I've been praying to the Lord to help me to stay in teaching mode and to not get into preaching mode. And, you know, when I was pastoring for many years, the Bible says a pastor must be apt to teach. And one preacher said that means he ought to teach instead of preach. We're going to try to stay in teaching mode as we continue in our thoughts on spiritual warfare. And so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. And of course, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We'll stop reading there. We'll pray, get into our studies, and we'll be looking at a few more verses today as we continue our thoughts on the pieces of armor that God has given us to stand in the spiritual battle. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we do thank you for the rain. Lord, it is much needed. Lord, it can inconvenience us at times, but Lord, I'm glad you know what we need better than we do. And so, Lord, we just pray that many others will be able to get out this morning. If they don't make it to Sunday school, we pray they'll make it in for the morning church service. Lord, we pray, Lord, for our pastor today as he preaches the word of God in the morning service, that you give him liberty, Lord, and Father, that folks would respond to the word of God. If there might be any that are lost, Lord, we pray that they would accept you as their Lord and Savior. Now, we pray your Holy Spirit would help us, Lord, as we go back into the word of God. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would help me, Lord, because I'm nothing but a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, Lord, if I'm not doing this out of love, and your Holy Spirit does not, of course, be our great teacher, helper, and guide. So, Lord, we pray you'd be with us now. Open up the hearts of our students, and we'll be grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're continuing in our thoughts on spiritual warfare. And, of course, last week we began looking at the pieces of armor that God has given us to stand and to withstand. We saw the girdle of truth, and we looked at that, and about how truth holds everything together, and that how truth is Jesus in the Word of God. And then we saw the breastplate of righteousness, and we talked about the fact that Christ is our righteousness, and that our righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags, Isaiah 64. And then, of course, we talked about the heart that is being protected. It should be a heart that is not condemning to the believer. And we went back and reviewed what happened to Achan and his family when he was trying to fight the battles with Israel when there was sin in the camp. And the same is with us. If we're going to stand in this world and be victorious, then we've got to have victory over sin in our life as well. And this morning we want to move on to the third piece of armor that God has given us, and that is our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If you go back, turn over, and look in verses 14 and 15, as we saw last week, we said, "Stand therefore what? Having our loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness." And now this morning, we continue on our thoughts on having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now think about it. That word shod, what does it mean? The word shod means to bind under one's feet. To bind under one's feet. I heard one preacher say this. He said, "The world wants to know what's in your wallet, but Jesus and God want to know what's under your feet." Amen. And we need to have our feet shod what? With the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Now, if you think back historically, in these days when Paul wrote of Ephesians, we think about a soldier in that day. And he would wear a very special type of shoe or a sandal, and it would have cleats or nails on the bottom of the shoe. And of course, in the terrain that they were living in, it's rocky, it's sandy. A pair of tennis shoes wouldn't do you any good. You just would slip and slide all over the place. So these sandals with the nails and the spikes would give them traction in the rocky terrain. In other words, those types of shoe were necessary for them to have a proper foundation for their body. They were soldiers. Their job was to war and to fight. And if they were not able to stand stationary, then they would become, it would be very easy for them to be defeated. And there's a great picture there for you and I as Christians today. Because remember now, there's two particular things that God has asked us to do as Christians in these passages. If you remember what they are, number one, it's to do what? It's to withstand. And number two, it's what? It's to stand, remember? And that means we're to do what? As we live this Christian life, we are to resist the enemy, and we are to stand against the enemy, and we are to oppose the enemy. And if we're going to do that, we've got to have a solid foundation. We've got to have a solid foundation. And Paul speaks of that foundation in our life as being what? The gospel of peace. You know, that's the only foundation that we can stand on. And Jesus Christ is the founder of that foundation. I like what this same writer Paul said in 1 Corinthians about the foundation of the believer. What did he say? He said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ," right? He's our foundation. Jesus made that clear to Peter when he said, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, or Cephas, a stone, and upon this rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us." So this foundation speaks of how our feet are to be shod, okay? So they're to be shod with what? Preparation. Look at what it says here. He says, "And our feet shod," now watch this, I like this, "not only with that foundation," but he puts a very important word in there. He says, "with preparation." Preparation. Think about this. Are you as a believer, am I as a believer, prepared? Prepared to do what? To share the gospel of peace, right? Are we prepared to share the gospel of peace? There's only one gospel that can bring peace to a world that is at war with God. You know, when we look about us and on the news today and everything that is going on with these riots and listening to these people try to, and it's funny to me, Brother Ken, that most of them, if you ask them, "Well, what are you trying to accomplish out of it?" They don't have a clue what they're trying to accomplish out of this. It's like Pastor taught us in the book of James last week or so when he got to that verse where it says, "From whence come fightings and warrings among you?" You know, and they'll tell you, "Well, it comes from social injustice. Well, it comes from income inequality. Well, it comes from systemic racism." You know, and just, I don't want to get political, but let me throw a little point in here about the systemic racism everybody's talking about. In 2019, there were 19 unarmed white men shot by police. Guess how many unarmed black men were shot by police in the same year? It was only 10. And so if there's systemic racism in America, friend, it's against the white man, not the black man. Listen, my heart goes out to the black community. They've been deceived. Amen? They're out here fighting with one another, fighting against the man, fighting against white people and anyone that they have been told is suppressing them and holding them down. And my suggestion is this, amen? Why don't you put down the brick, pick up a hammer, and go to work? Amen? Go out and get you a job and go out and provide for your family and quit screaming and crying for someone to give you a free ride. Listen, that's how you solve the problem, amen? And my name is Brother Glenn, and I approve that message, all right? Now, we'll get back to the Bible message, amen? And, you know, the nuts don't fall too far from the tree. You know, I got, Brother Ken made me do that, amen? It wasn't me, it was Brother Ken made me do that. I'm just kidding. But anyway, are we prepared? Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that can bring peace. Listen, what will solve all these riots, what will solve all this hatred and supposed racism is nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. If these folks would get saved and born again, get their heart right with God, then God would change them from the inside out. And they would not be at war. Because listen, what they're really fighting against is they're fighting against God. They don't realize that. When you have hatred in your heart, you may be leashing out at a person, but in reality, you're leashing out at God. Remember all the way back in the Old Testament when Moses was leading the nation of Israel? And remember when Dathan, Abiram, and what was the other guy, Brother Ken? It was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Remember when they started rebelling against Moses and his leadership, and they were complaining and arguing about things. And I remember what Moses told them. You know what he told them? He said, guys, he said, your problem's not with me. What did he tell them? He said, your problem's with God, right? And when we look at the world around us and see all the hatred and the fighting and the violence, listen, these people's problems is not with the United States of America. That's the greatest irony of all. America, far from a perfect government because it's run by sinners saved by grace and sinners lost on their way to hell, but yet the United States of America has been the most prosperous, the most generous, the most powerful, the most kindest human experiment in government in the history of the world. And what are they doing? They're spending all their time and energy trying to tear down the greatest opportunity that anyone could ever have. Amen? You come to America, and if you would just exercise your constitutional rights and freedoms as a citizen, you can be prosperous, you can be successful, you can be happy. Amen? The Constitution guarantees us that, the pursuit of happiness. But listen, we've got to quit warring against God. We need the gospel of peace. Listen, that's the only thing that can bring peace to a world at war with God. It is the gospel. Gospel means good news. It is the good news of the physical death, the literal burial, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ that can bring peace to a world at war with God. You know, Paul, he battled with this idea of keeping peace, not only trying to bring peace to the world, but trying to keep peace in the church of Jesus Christ in his day. Remember, Paul had to write to Galatia when they were beginning to move away from that gospel of peace. I believe Brother Ken touched on this in a message recently. Remember in Galatia, as soon as the church was getting formed and settled in, the Judaizers came in and started mixing works with grace. And Paul told them, he said, guys, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him, watch this, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, right? Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, that's what's happening. Listen, Satan keeps people unsaved, lost, blinded in sin in this world, and they continue to be at war with God, but he's not satisfied with that. He then goes after the believer. That's why Paul gives us these provisions, because we're in a battle every day. You know, our very first message in this series was what? That our enemies are real. The enemy is real. And so even Satan goes against the church. But what did Paul say? He said, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than what? Than the gospel of peace, the gospel of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, if anyone preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, what does the Bible say? Let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. Boy, Paul really hammers this home in Galatians. He said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. And it's sad that the day in which we're living in, Brother Ray, that many nominal Christian denominations today are not preaching the gospel of peace. It breaks my heart. Catholicism, we know they don't preach. They mix works and grace. Jehovah's Witnesses, they mix works with grace. Seventh-day Mormons, they mix works with grace. And sadly, the most of Methodism and Presbyterianism even today mixes works with grace. And sadly, even some Baptist churches today, Pentecostal churches, mix works with grace. When they teach you can lose your salvation or you have to work to keep it. Many Church of Gods mix works with grace. Tell you the exact same. And look, I'm not picking on anyone and I'm not being judgmental. But listen, Paul said, if any man or an angel in heaven preach unto you any other gospel than the gospel which ye have received, Paul said, that which I brought unto you is that which first I also received, 1 Corinthians 15. That Christ, number one, died for our sins, now watch this, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, according to the Scriptures. And that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the good news. That is what saves a man from sin and death, hell and the grave. That is what can change a world at war with God to a world at peace with God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are our feet shod with that preparation of the gospel of peace? What is Paul saying there? He's saying as we stand in this world on that foundation, the only way that we can stand, remember the soldiers, the only way they could stand is if they had those cleats or those nails on the bottom of those their shoes, and that would give them the stability to stand in the battle. And what is Paul saying with us? He said the only way, because prior to this, he's already called us to what? To stand and to withstand, to resist, to oppose the enemy. He's saying the only way you're going to be able to do that is if your feet are shod, watch this, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me ask you as a believer today, let me ask myself as a believer today, can you by memory give someone the gospel message? How many of us in here this morning at Trinity Baptist Church can raise our hand and say, Brother Glenn, I can by memory share the gospel message with someone? Can you do that? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but listen, some of us here have been saved for more than 20 years, and if we can't share the gospel message with someone by memory, something is strikingly wrong. I'm not being harsh. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feeling, but we should be able to go to someone and to say, Brother, I love you, and I've got bad news and I've got good news. The bad news is this. Brother, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, brother, there is none righteous, no, not one. The bad news is, brother, you're a sinner. But the good news is that God loves you anyway. Did you know that Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, you and I sinners, that Christ died for us? And did you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Brother, do you know that the Bible says Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures? And brother, did you know that the Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you can be saved? Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother, is there anything in this world at this moment keeping you from repenting and praying and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Lord and Savior? Can you do that? As the Church of Jesus Christ, we should be able to do that. But sadly, most of us cannot do that. But most believers cannot even take this book and do it. And lead someone through the road, call it the Romans Road, the plan of salvation. Listen, we as the church need to get back to discipleship. That's one thing I love about Trinity Baptist Church. It has rekindled my fire for learning and for being taught. It is such a blessing to sit up under the teaching of the Word of God with my Bible open, following along in the passages as Pastor Ken teaches us, and then the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, illuminates my heart. Man, sometimes I can't mark my Bible fast enough from what the Holy Spirit is showing me through the teaching of the Word of God here at Trinity Baptist Church. Friend, you ought to be excited about that. Amen? You ought to thank God for that each and every day, and you ought to be faithful and be in your place and let God prepare you with the gospel of peace. prepare you with the doctrines of Scripture. Man, Brother Ken is giving out doctrine after doctrine, those important things that ground believers and help us to not only know what we believe, but why we believe it. You ever thought about that? You ever ask someone a question, well, what do you believe about this and about this and this? And they'll tell you what they believe, and then you'll say, well, why do you believe that? And then they'll look at you and say, well, that's what my preacher said on Sunday. That's what my preacher said. Well, that's good, and I hope your preacher's right. But we not only need to know what we believe as believers, as Christians, but we need to know why we believe it, right? It's like the little boy that came home from school, and Mama said, well, little Johnny, what'd you learn in school today? And little Johnny said, well, Mom, I learned that one and one is two. And Mama says, well, how do you know one and one is two, little Johnny? And little Johnny said, because my teacher said so. Now, I'm glad that little Johnny knows that one and one is two, but you see, Johnny doesn't understand the concept of addition and how one and one became two. And therefore, all Johnny can do is tell someone that one and one is two, but he cannot show them why one and one is two. Do you understand the difference there? Does that make sense to anyone or just me? We as believers not only need to know what we believe, but we need to know why we believe it. We should be able to go to the Bible and defend our faith, defend our stand, defend the gospel, defend. And now someone says, well, God doesn't need defending. Yes, he does. The Bible says that we are to stand for and to defend the faith once delivered unto the saints. If people are attacking our faith, attacking our Savior, attacking our Bible, I beg to differ with you. We do need to defend it. Amen. Now, I know the person of God doesn't need defending. He's all powerful. But I'm not going to stand around while people defame the Bible, defame my God, and defame my Savior. I'm going to stand up and say something about it. Amen? And we as believers ought to be willing to do that. Oh, we need to be prepared. We need to have our feet shod with that preparation of the gospel of peace. We need as Christians to our life's verse, every believer. This is one thing I loved about the Awana program, because it drilled within my heart that our life's verse ought to be 2 Timothy 2:15. What does it say? It says study. Study, that word means be diligent. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? You'll never be able to stand against the enemies of the cross of Christ, against the cross of Christ, if you are not prepared. We must be prepared. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. Amen? We ought to know what we believe and why we believe it. Let's get our feet shod with what? The preparation. How are you going to do that? I'm going to tell you how you're going to do that. You're going to be faithful in Sunday school. Amen? You're going to be faithful on Sunday morning worship service. You're going to be faithful in Sunday night worship service. And here's the kicker. You're going to be faithful on Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting, if at all possible. Amen? And see what happens. Think about that. Now, I know I'm chasing a few rabbits here this morning, but maybe the old pastor's coming out of me. But I'm a firm believer of this, Brother Ken, that, and I understand we're in a particular time right now, and I understand the COVID and people being older and underlying. I understand all that, and so I'm not picking on anyone, people that are not here. I'm not doing that. But I'm just saying this, that I believe with all of my heart that every member of a Bible-believing church at the judgment seat of Christ will give an account to Jesus Christ himself, the living word, for every single message that went forth from the pulpit of the church that God allowed them to be a member of. You may disagree with me with that, but when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you'll find out that I was right. I believe that every member of every Bible-believing church anywhere in the world, when they stand before Jesus Christ, will give an account to God for every single message that was taught, preached, or went forth from that pulpit. In other words, number one, were you there to receive it? Number two, did you receive it as it is in truth the Word of God and not the Word of men? You know, sadly, a lot of Christians today, all they do is come to church to analyze the Word of God, to analyze the preacher, to try to find something wrong that he said or how he did it, or he preached too long, or he preached too loud, or he was too monotone, or whatever. But listen, if you come to church to critique the preacher, then you might as well not come to church, because you're not going to get anything out of it anyway. You ought to come to church, as the songwriter said, Lord, fill my cup. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill the longing of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Right? Is that why we come? That's why we should come. Oh, listen. We should come and with a willingness to get prepared. Wow, how about that? Amen. We've covered one point today, honey. We're doing good, aren't we? She'll let me know about that at lunch today. Amen. Oh, let's move on to the next one. What is the next piece of armor that God gives us? And we're going to go back and retrace a lot of this, even in our. We got several more messages coming after these. This is a very rich passage of Scripture. So now we've talked about having on the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's look at number four. How about the shield of faith? The shield of faith. Look at that's found in where? In verse 16. After we have shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, what did Paul say? He said, above all, right? He said, taking the shield of faith. Above all, that shield of faith stands head and shoulders above the rest. It's as if we put the rest of it on so that we can then take the shield of faith and hold it head and shoulders above all the rest of our armor, right? It's like the front line of protection for the believer. Paul encourages us in Ephesians 6:13, after to withstand in the evil day and having to stand, what does he say? Back up a little bit. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now that's amazing. Before Paul begins giving us these individual pieces that he's given us already, he emphasizes to the believer, in other words, I'll just kind of put this in layman's terms. He says, guys, I am about to give you a list of pieces of armor that I want you to put on. But before he gives us that individual list, he says, now guys, I'm about to give you a list, but I want you to make sure that you put on all of it. Not some of it, all of it, right? He says, put on the whole armor of God. That's a compound word in the Greek language. It's panoplia. And what does it mean? It means full armor, all the armor, whole armor. What's got Paul warning us against as believers? He's saying, don't be a half-hearted Christian, all right? Remember back in our Old Testament comparison in Joshua when Israel came to Ai, remember? And they said, oh, it's just a little old town. This isn't a difficult enemy here. We'll just send a few guys up, you know, we'll just grab a few swords and maybe a spear or two, and we'll just run up there. Man, we took out the whole city of Jericho, brought the walls down, took the whole city, burned it to the ground. Nothing's left, no one's left except Rahab and her family. He said, we'll just trot right up here to Ai and take this little old city out. And you know the story, what happened. A lot of Israel died that day. A lot of good men died. A lot of moms and children lost their dads that day. Why? Because the nation did not go into battle with what God had provided for them. They went into battle in their own thinking, in their own reasoning, using situation ethics to go into the battle. And what happened? They suffered a great defeat that day. And that's what Paul is saying here for us. He's saying, guys, put on the panoply of God. Put on the whole armor of God. To be fully protected and to survive in the battles that we face in this spiritual warfare, we must be fully clothed with all that God has provided. Not some of it. Think about this. You wouldn't expect and I ain't going to say professional football player because I'm done with the NFL. Can I just publicly say I am done with the NFL? When I saw that garbage this week, Jacksonville? Jaguars and all of that mess and the coach getting down on his knee talking about how proud he is of his players for spewing out that hatred and lies and propagating all these lies. Man, I'm done. You hear me? I am done. Atlanta Falcon, I don't care. I'm done. Listen, I don't even know where I got there, and I don't even know where I got. See there, how the world gets you off track. Oh, I know, I know what it was. That as we got, I still don't know where I got that from. But anyway, but we're putting on that whole armor. We can't pick and choose what God wants us to put on. The thought is this: if we're going to be fully protected and survive the battle, oh, I know what it was. I was going to say a football player would not put on all of his uniform and then at the last moment say, well, you know, this helmet sure is bulky and uncomfortable. I don't need this helmet. And he wouldn't take his helmet off and set it on the sideline and go out there and run a play without a helmet on. What would happen? He'd probably get killed in one play. His head would get crushed, right? But yet, why do many believers today haphazardly go into battle every single day? And make no mistake about it, friend, every day of the Christian life is a spiritual battle. Just going to work is a spiritual battle. Just going to the mall is a spiritual battle, amen? Think about it. You go to the mall and you see so many depictions of pornography, what soft pornography, and pictures of going by Victoria's Secret, and a man's heart is challenged not to struggle with lust of the flesh. Man, you can't even go shopping without struggling and without it being in a battle. So every day is a battle. So if we're going to be successful, we've got to put on all the armor that God has given us. Did you know that when you look at this passage of Scripture, that every one of these pieces of armor speak of Christ? Did you know that? That's what I love about this. Think about this. All the pieces of armor speak of Jesus Christ Himself. In Romans 13:14, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Right? He said in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ," watch this, "have put on Christ." Isn't that neat? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said. Listen, when we have put on Christ in salvation, in our position, the only way that we can mature and be victorious in the battles of life is if we continue to put on Christ in sanctification each and every day, right? Let's look at Christ in these pieces of armor this morning, a few pieces. Go back to the very first piece of armor. What does he say? He says, doing what? He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth," right? The first piece of armor was having our loins girt about with truth. Does that not speak of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ said what? "I am the way." And what? The truth, right? And the life. Jesus, what did he say? When he stood before Pilate, he said, "For this cause came I unto this hour, that I might," what? "Bear witness of" what? "The truth." Amen. What is truth? Pilate said. Jesus answered that question in John 14:6. He said, "I am the way, the truth," right? Think about the breastplate of righteousness right there. We know that Jesus Christ is our righteousness, right? That even goes back to the Old Testament. One of the compound names found in Psalm 23, Jehovah Tsidkenu. What did that Old Testament name? You can go back in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd," Jehovah Raha, right? "I shall not want," Jehovah Jireh, "the Lord will provide. He maketh me lie down in green pastures." The Lord is our what? Shalom. The Lord is our peace. "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness." What is that? Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, listen, the only way we ever get into the position to put that on is through the righteousness of Christ, right? We get in Christ in salvation through His imputed righteousness. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth," right? And so, and then if we're going to practice righteousness in everyday life, the only way that we can do that is to get up each and every day and pick up our cross, put on Christ, right? Practical righteousness is not possible without positional righteousness, right? So the only way we have righteousness is Christ. "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be" what? "Made the righteousness of God in Him." So think about that. The righteousness, that's a picture of Christ. And then we talked about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Christ is our peace, right? Ephesians 2:14, for he is what? Our peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And then he says, put on the shield of faith. Well, think about this. Christ is not only the author and the finisher of our faith, but he is also the object of our faith, right? Isn't this neat? I love this. This is wonderful. Oh, listen, this, J. Vernon McGee said, this is where the cookies get down on the bottom shelf, where the kiddies can get some. Christ is the author, the finisher, and the object of our faith. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? And then he says, we'll look further into these other ones, the helmet of salvation. But I'll just say this, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, right? Salvation is of the Lord. I believe it's Psalm 27 says, the Lord is become, I will rejoice. Why? The Lord is become my salvation, right? In Exodus 22, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Amen. That's Christ. The Lord, it's Psalm 118, not 27, excuse me. Psalm 118, 14, the Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. Salvation in every way, shape, form, or fashion. Salvation from sin and position, salvation from trials and tribulations, in sanctification, and sanctification and salvation when we stand before him in glory. And then he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. John 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaks of who? Christ. Isn't that great? And then prayer. Oh, listen, Jesus gave us the great example of prayer. He said, when ye pray, pray after this manner. Jesus is the one that made prayer possible. Now, I'm going to make a profound statement here, and Brother Ken, if I'm off on this, you let me know. I believe the same price was paid for a believer to be able to pray that was paid for a believer to be saved and born again. Had not Christ died for our sins, been buried, and rose from the dead, and ascended back to the right hand of the Father, and presented his blood in the temple in heaven, you and I could never approach God personally in prayer. We'd have had no access, friend. We'd have had no access whatsoever. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly, where? To the throne of grace. You see, why can we go to the throne of grace? Because Christ rent the veil. He granted us access, but that took his death on the cross, friend. There was a great price paid for prayer. And I used to hammer that home on Wednesday nights, my friend, that we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for our salvation and forgiveness of sin. And yes, it was, but that was also the price that was paid for you to walk in a Bible-believing church on Wednesday night and close your eyes and cross your hands and speak to God personally. Wow. Prayer. Because we'll see in this study, when we get down to the end of this study, to the very end of this, the only reason Paul got us in that entire suit of armor was to do three things: stand, withstand, and pray. It's going to shock you when we get to the end that what you've been dressed to do. You haven't been dressed to run out of this door and wield a sword and find the devil and try to chop his head off. You've been dressed to go outside of this door to stand and to withstand and to pray. Right? Wow. It's powerful stuff. For Christ is our all in all. The songwriter penned these words. He said, every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see. On his strength, divine relying, he is all in all to me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Right? Now notice, though Paul emphasizes putting on that fourth piece of armor in verse 16, he also says, above all, taking the shield of faith. What is going to be the front line defense that we have as believers? John made it very clear. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. We're saved by grace through faith. We live by faith. The just shall live how? By faith. We stand by faith, right? We battle by faith, above all, taking the shield of faith. And we're going to look at this closer. We're going to find out that this is a door-shaped shield that the soldiers had in that day. And we're going to look at that more in detail next week because we're out of time this morning. But my friend, verse 13 tells us, above all, taking the shield of faith, he tells us what? That all the armor is necessary. Above all the previous armor, now add this one. You can't leave one out. Whatever you do, above all the rest, Paul says, take this shield of faith. This shield will cover all the other armor. Amen? Now we're going to look at that next week when we look at that shield, thureos, and we'll find out that it is that large door-shaped shield, and we'll continue on these thoughts in spiritual warfare. Hey, some pretty neat and rich stuff here in this passage, is it not? I'll tell you, it's a blessing to my heart. I hope it's been a blessing to yours. And I hope you'll continue to look into this and study a little more as we go along. Amen. Let's pray. We've got to get ready for morning service. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come, Lord, and have our feet shod with preparation, Lord, and to begin to learn, Father, not only what we believe, but why we believe it. Lord, we do pray for our pastor in the upcoming morning service. We're excited to hear hear from the Word of God. I pray you'd bless him, give him great liberty and joy as he preaches the Word of God. Be with Miss Faye this morning. Lord, as we know she doesn't feel well, we pray you'd bless her and help her. Lord, all those that are still out and sick, and Lord, we pray you'd help them, bless them, facing procedures. Lord, be with them. And Lord, but for those, Lord, that are well, Lord, it's time to get back in church. Lord, as I look back at the back of the church this morning, I hope and pray to see, Lord, a large crowd beginning to come in of these younger people, Lord, and help them to realize that it's time to come back, Lord, safely and with wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that you'd have your will and your way in this place, and that we'd give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.